If you can figure out what movie that's from, give us a call, 888-850-1872. And as a reward, get my book, Faith, the Final Frontier, a $400 million value, here on 888-850-1872. What is the name of this movie? It's sort of a parody. All right, so that's it. Hail, hail, Fredonia, land of the free and brave. So we thank those singers for, I won't tell you what singer group that is, but you can give us a call at 888-850-1872. And of course, you can get a reward, my $500 million value book, Faith, the Final Frontier, by me, for you. One of the things that we're going to talk about today is World War One, and we're going to have a little play again on something else from that same movie. It's a little bit of a parody. And there is this rebuke by Mrs. Teasdale to those who were taking money from Mrs. Teasdale's fortune and squandering it badly because of a crisis, that they weren't worthy of her attentions and her consideration, and that she thought that somebody else ought to be in charge of Fredonia. So we're going to play a clip, a rebuke from Mrs. Teasdale later. But I went to the World War One information source that I had, and I looked at how many people were lost because of the war. They list civilian deaths, and they also list military deaths. And one of the things I wanted to do is I'm going to name off the countries that are listed here that were involved in World War One. Many of them, of course, are affiliated with the United Kingdom, with the great British Empire there. Australia, Canada, Indian Empire, New Zealand, Dominion of Newfoundland, South Africa, United Kingdom of Great Britain, and Ireland. Now, the total listed in people lost from the United Kingdom in World War One, 1,114,914. Civilian deaths, 111,000. Look at that, 111. It's just like my grandmother's birthday, 111111. 111,000 civilians. So a total of 1,225,914 people attributed to being killed because of World War One, just within the United Kingdom group. Belgium had 120,000. Let me look at the total. The total percentage of the population of Great Britain and Ireland, 2.19% of their population. Belgium lost 1.63% of their population. Watch this. France, the numbers lost 1.3978 million, with 300,000 additional people being lost who were civilian, 4.29% of their population. Imagine 4 out of every 100 people being killed and lost because of that war. Greece, 3.67% of their population. Italy, 3.48% of their population. Romania, 9% of their population. Russian Empire, 1.9%. And Kingdom of Serbia, 16% of their population. The United States, 0.13%. I'll tell you what, that war was a pretty horrific war. They described it as the war to end all wars. The armistice was signed November 11th, 1918. November 11th, 1918. I'll be talking about the other forces that were eventually considered, I guess, the losers of the war, were the guys that started the war. I guess that's appropriate. For those who start such a thing, they should be the ones who lose. The shameful thing is it happens for some weird, trivial political intrigue. And it cost literally just, I'm looking at the list right here, just on the one side of the forces that won, 5,711,000, plus civilians, 3,674,000, total of 9,386,453 deaths on one side, the victor's side, that were unnecessary. I would say, you know what, when I guess when people die, you know what it does? It affects your economy. When we, rather than giving birth to the little humans, we have them put to death, it affects our economy. Not just our eternity, but our temporal situation. So just knowing, again, when I grew up as a kid, we still had a lot of guys around that were in World War One, and it was a very traumatic experience. The trench warfare, the gassing, it was just, as they said, a war to end all wars. They were just slaughtering each other. So that was, that was a kind of horrific thing. If you know anything about World War II and the battles that were happening in the Pacific especially, and the amount of slaughter that happened just on both sides, what an insane thing. So what would drive leaders of a country? I'll just take the Tanaka plan in Japan for one thing. What would inspire them to take over the planet? Okay, they love themselves. I guess they've got a religious bent to everything they do. Every political person has got some kind of a religious bent. What would motivate somebody to come up with a Tanaka plan to take over China and to take over all of Southeast Asia? And, of course, the United States, they were somebody who was going to be an obstacle, so they were on the list of people to attack. But what would motivate it? I can see in Germany there was a little bit of a get-even mentality. The Treaty of Versailles, I guess, wasn't as beneficial to those who kind of instigated, I guess, were determined to instigate this war, World War One. Things didn't work out for them. What would inspire anybody to take on the globe, to use the instruments of war, of death, to take over a political ground? That's kind of a strange thing. So I think in today, when we think about November 11th and the armistice in 1911, now we call it Veterans Day, where it's no longer Armistice Day. We're considering the service of those who have given their lives and have served in military to protect, we say, our freedom. Hail, hail, Fredonia, land of the free and brave. Sometimes we say it's to protect our freedom, but what happens is sometimes we see them, the guys in the civilian realm that the military is subject to, that is accountable to. We see some of those folks in the political realm saying that it's for our freedom. We're going to send these guys over there for our freedom. And really it's for security, depending on the situation. I'm not pointing any fingers at any current or past or future thing. I'm just saying in general, it's very possible that people are making decisions or will make decisions and have made decisions in the past where it was political security and pragmatism rather than freedom. In fact, sometimes we see freedom going out the window for the sake of security. Now, I know an Army lieutenant colonel who's been over to Afghanistan, and he's back here right now, and he's just recently been promoted to colonel. And I asked him if he would come talk to me about Afghanistan and some of the things that he's seen, some of the needs of the people, what some of the folks want that are there, what are those who are fighting and killing both the locals and the foreigners. Obviously, if you're a foreign occupier, so to speak, I don't care where you are. If you're sitting on somebody else's land, if somebody was sitting in America, you don't care what the political situation is like. Take your guns out of our neighborhood. Get yourself and your little shooting stick and get out of our neighborhood. I don't care what the issues are. Get out of our neighborhood. So just inherently, I don't care where you are in this world. That's what the view is going to be. Now, they may not realize that some of this is driven because somebody that was being a guest in that country planned an attack on and is planning attacks and has had attacks all over the world, terrorist attacks, and has supported terrorist attacks in different parts of the world from the sanctuary of Afghanistan and the western parts of Pakistan. So they don't think about that, you know, if you're going to push somebody around, you're going to poke somebody in the eye, they're going to come back on you. The average person doesn't think about that stuff. They don't think about what got these guys here. There's no justification generally for those for people who are disturbed by foreigners on that land. This is something we have to understand, have to be aware of. And of course, I think we ought to be paying attention. It seems I've been kind of checking out what people know about the situation in Afghanistan. People don't know a thing about it. I will say that on Friday, we're going to have somebody who has well studied on Afghanistan, and he believes that a lot of this stuff is driven politically because of an intention to have an uninterrupted oil pipeline to the Arabian Gulf, or I'm sorry, the Indian Ocean, and to India and some other parts over there. So that this guy has some, I guess, some exposure to some of the things that were going on prior to the current catastrophe that's happening in Afghanistan. And he really believes that there's things that are happening now that are really motivated by something other than merely 9/11. And it very well might be. I've been reading some treatises that were written back in prior to the year 2000 on people that were in Afghanistan, in that area, describing what kind of strange quagmire it is politically with the Taliban and the other groups that are there, and going back to those groups that there prior to the Russian occupation. So it's actually a pretty interesting and intriguing little hot potato. But most Americans don't know what's going on. They don't know what is happening specifically with the service members that are there. When they hear the thing in the news recently about the president of the United States being a little bit slow to add more troops, they don't really know necessarily what the general who's on the ground there, why that general asked for more troops. Because people don't really even understand what the vision is and why Americans are there per se, really, and what they're trying to do. So that's something to think about. Here on Veterans Day, let's not let the day go by without stopping and thinking about it and saying to ourselves, my goodness, is that something that should be there? Should America be doing in Afghanistan at all, one way or the other? Because just not only consider what's happening with your service members who are putting their lives on the line there, but ultimately, if they're there representing you and they're using deadly force, it's impacting the lives of other people. So a little bit of civic duty requires us to not just entertain ourselves with our in-flight entertainment while our plane might be in a nosedive. It requires us here on November 11th, Veterans Day, to not just sit back and enjoy our cable TV. Let's take a moment out to contemplate and consider what things should we be doing to make a difference, to keeping in check a progression to chaos that our country seems to be slipping into. So that's my plea for us right now. Of course, I got to play this. Oh, no, I don't. I pushed the button, and I didn't hear the noise. What movie is this music from? Okay, 888-850-1872. When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to Mrs. Teasdale's rebuke. I think it is apropos. I think it's on point. I think it's something that we can all reflect upon as Mrs. Teasdale reproves those who would like to extract money for her for their warlike causes. So we're going to come back. I'd like you to tune into our website at faithfreedoms.org, where you can find out about what we do and why we do it. You can also, by the way, folks, support the Tri-County Pregnancy Center. The number is 528-0200. Tune into our website at faithfreedoms.org. Our number here is 888-850-1872. We'll be back. Take this moment to consider your veteran friends and family.